Joining me now here in the WGN Skyline studio is Democratic State Representative Bob Rito from Blue Island. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No problem. Thank you. Good morning.
I know you appreciate the lovely view of the river and the lake and Navy Pier, and that's kind of a good way to get your day started.
It's a nice way to start. This is the first time being here since, I said, the last time we met, we were at the old studio.
The old Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Well, and this way, too, we can see the weather front coming in for all the snow that was is going to envelop us here. We'll get through it. I wanted to have you on for a couple of reasons. This week, following the Veterans Day holiday, we resume the final 3 days of the fall veto session in the Illinois House. We've got a number of things to talk to you about that. But also, I want to talk to you about a concern more local, more closer to home for you, but also for the South suburbs, and that's the closure of the Metro South Health Center. And that, I'm surprised it hadn't gotten more attention.
Well, it locally it did. We come out of the session and we arrived with the news that Metro South was going to close, and it's almost 1,000 jobs that were lost at this facility. It's actually currently closed now, so they have to prove it'll close. As we were talking before we went on the air, it started with Westlake. Now Metro South, I believe this is going to be a major issue that's just the beginning of hospital closures throughout the state. But in particular in the South Side, this has put a major hole in healthcare, in particular like with the emergency room.
I noticed a story about the first responders saying, it shouldn't impact that much to go to other hospital facility emergency rooms for ambulance service in the region, but they were also saying, well, that's a best case scenario, because ignoring things like there's a lot of rail traffic that comes through,
and that is a major obstacle on the whole South Side, whether it's the
right.
South Side of Chicago, South, but particularly in the South suburbs. There was almost 50,000 emergency room visits, and to me, that
50,000 in a year.
In a year. And who's going to, how is that going to get absorbed in the system that's down there? When you take a look at, you have Christ, Little Company of Mary, Roseland, and Ingalls around there. That's a large number to absorb, especially when a number of them hospitals go on bypass.
Which is?
When they're not accepting inpatient, ambulance services in. So depending on where you're routed, it could be from as high as almost 20 minutes for a transport of an ambulance.
Is there a larger picture here about some of these for-profit hospitals? And all of a sudden, you see them like out in the west suburbs where they acquire whatever, and then it's shut down.
Well, they move in, they look, take the parts out what they want. To me, this has started, you see it with the for-profit, and I could see this coming down the line with other hospitals, whether for-profit or non-for-profit, in something we need to look at, and I've dug deep in. As I said, I've been no healthcare expert on this.
Right.
It's landed in my lab. And looking at all the duplicated of services and what these services in these other hospitals, particularly like in the Southland, you have to start looking at transforming what these facilities and how we serve the community best. And to me, it's a beginning of a major problem that's going to come. And we need to get out front of this to not have like what we have here in Blue Island, a closed facility, and it's
close facility and lose 1,000 jobs.
Yes.
I was curious about, the state had the Health Facilities Planning Board, and it was supposed to be kind of, as an altruistic way of looking, government and altruism. It's early on a Sunday morning, but an altruistic way of effectively planning so that there wasn't an overbuilding of or duplication of services, those kinds of things. Then, of course, we saw the Health Facilities Planning Board become basically a corrupt organization. Yes. Through Rod Blagojevich's administration.
Well, and then since then, it's like they have... it appears they have real no role as long as certain criteria is met. They have so. What's the function of this? If they're not looking at the stats,
They were supposed to be like almost a regulatory body that said yes, yes or no on new hospital expansion, service expansion, those kinds of things.
Yes, and what I see and what I've experienced through this, it was just meet certain criteria and it's a rubber stamp. It didn't really matter. They didn't look at the big picture that I thought it was the agency was designed to do. And so we went from when it first started to the dark side to what is their function and what are they doing.
So, well, what becomes of Metro South?
Well, right now we passed a bill out of the House to create a freestanding emergency center, locked in, so there was funding that was put for transformation of facilities. The bill locks in the funding for a couple of years so that it'd be attractive for someone to come in
to
set up a freestanding emergency room and look at other services that the community would need. So if you look at it like a phase one, get the emergency room up and running to address the high number of emergency room visits that it did receive. It puts the funding in there so that get them up and running and to provide an entity to do this, and then during that time they could look at what other services that the community needs and
ancillary services.
Yes. And so I believe that's a start of transforming. So that bill sits in the Senate, Senate Bill 115. Senator Jones has that, and so this could be the start of bringing Metro South back online. Fill in that void, and then taking a look at the other areas and what services they provide.
Do we know if that bill is enough to indeed attract some kind of healthcare provider to provide those emergency services?
Well, that's right now there's nothing. Right, and there's no authority to allow from my understanding, you have to allow the authority for the free emergency center, freestanding emergency center. And then that money was allocated to the hospital. So I looked at leave that money locked into that hospital because we voted on that. We put that money.
That would have been there if the hospital had been fulfilling up and running.
Yes.
Right.
And so locked that money in where it was intended to go. And to use it for this purpose. Now, there's a number of people in talks of coming in to do this plan. Everyone said it's not going to be a full service hospital. When you look at the amount of beds it had, 314 bed hospital, it's just not going to be that. But let's start with the basic, the emergency room, which and then go from there. And instead of taking that money and having it distributed somewhere else, it was, for that community, for that hospital. So,
well, and as you say, 50,000 emergency calls a year, and even though, okay, maybe some of them aren't truly emergencies, that's still 50,000 calls. And,
yes.
To see them subdivided out.
Well, take half of it, 25,000. It's still a large number, and so... To me, that's the starting. It should be the starting point. Working with our staff, this is the direction and the path that we've taken, and so I believe it's the right one.
So that's one bill to look at in the one bill among several.
Yes,
in the fall veto session, we're speaking with Democratic State Representative Bob Rita from Blue Island. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, here in the WGN Skyline studio with Democratic State Representative Bob Rita of Blue Island. We've been talking about legislation that's pending, House-passed legislation pending in the state Senate to try to restore some emergency health services at the now closed Metro South Medical Center in Blue Island. That's one bill in the veto session. And as Representative Verita points out, it's a misnomer perhaps to use the term fall veto session, even though that's how we know it in the legislative parlance, because I think there were seven vetoes. The governor signed like 600 bills, and there were only seven vetoes, and I think two of them were duplicates. So it has allowed a lot of issues to carry over from the spring session that ended in May, and as well as allowed for new issues. And you have been kind of the point person on gaming issues in Springfield. And obviously a lot of talk and concern about what about the Chicago casino. And I want to ask you this, because, and I've raised this with others, Mayor Lightfoot says the gaming board's study of taxation, city state taxation of this casino, that gaming board consultant study says nobody would come in.
Yes.
Now, why not still let out an RFP and just to see what the marketplace says? And wouldn't you learn more, perhaps, from the marketplace? You're not under any obligation for that request for proposal to fulfill that.
Well, and it has been the number one question asked by my colleagues.
Okay, so I'm not alone in this. No. Okay.
And you know, this started with for a number of years, we talked about, is a bill going to pass? Is it not going to pass?
Right.
We finally, at the
end. And then a bill finally passes.
We passed the bill. The feasibility study was put in the bill for Chicago at the request of the mayor at the end, and because there was concerns of from the beginning, saying the way it was structured, would this actually get up and running? And the feasibility came back. There was a sites that were selected, and they're saying it's not going to be feasible to build, or no one's going to come and build. But that's the number one question everyone keeps asking me, which I've asked, and really haven't got a real answer, saying, well, we can't put that out there because then they don't already. You know, there has not been a real answer on that. And so that is one of the obstacles we're facing of trying to, as we come back, we're trying to put a language together so that it, at the city's request, what they're looking at based on that feasibility study. And
but that would change the taxing.
It would change the taxing.
So yes. What are we looking at?
There's been a number of proposals going forward. We've been working diligently with this. I've been working with the city of Chicago, the Senate, and the governor's office to try to figure out is there a pathway, and what is that pathway? No. We need to do it right. We can't come back and put something on and then in January, we're back saying, well, here, we need to fix this now. And so taking a slower approach to make sure we do this right if we're going to put a bill on the board.
So what is the tax structure now? Is it one-third, one-third?
Well, it has its traditional taxing, and then it goes to the one-third, one-third, one-third on the back end. And that was so that we would generate enough money to address the pension system in the city, the police and fire. It was set up like the video poker, you know, the one-third, one-third, one-third. They're saying that along with this 75% reconciliation or holdback fee, no operator will come in. I started digging into this reconciliation fee. But basically, reconciliation started. There's a fee based on the highest 12 months of the 3 years after an operation. That would be a fee that would be paid over 2 years. And that would essentially would be the licensing fee.
Mm-hmm.
As you look back at these, like the 10th license, they were bid. People bid
right.
For the. So when you were looking at how do you set a price on a fee for this?
Because it's not a bid.
It's not a bid. And they're saying both the third tax and the reconciliation fee is not, no one's going to come in. But to go back to your question, I don't have that answer. Why not an RFP?
Does anything move on this?
We're trying to put something together.
Because we're again reopening this can of worms.
And that's what I explained to the mayor. I've had a number of talks, and we've been talking a lot. And I said,
because there have to be other interests wanting a little break on the taxes.
I have a list of everybody calling. So soon, you know, that was always our issue in the past. Soon as you open up the bill, or they think we're going to open up the bill, everyone's, you know, has their request, whether they didn't get it in May, or they want to get something new, or they don't want someone else to get something. And it really opens up, and I call it Pandora's box, and it's going to be an issue.
But enough that we don't do anything?
Well,
we're talking the veto session. She didn't include money in her budget for the city from casino with the deficit. I mean, why not just do it in January? Lower vote numbers and those kind of
things. Well, and their request is to try to get this done. So I'm going to work and diligently work. We've been working all weekend and trying to figure out a pathway. But we need to make sure we do it right. And if not, we revisit this back in January and to make it right.
Also, obviously, the mayor looking for that graduated transfer tax. I can tell by your response, because that's what I'm hearing as well.
Well, yes, and there's some setbacks here. I view it this way. She's asked for a number of things to help try to balance this budget or put this budget forward for the Chicago. The bill, in my view, goes back to the city. The city has to vote for this, the alderman. It's not like we're going to go down there and just make this vote. It gives the authority to the council to do this. And so I'm maybe a little more easier on this aspect.
Well, I was going to ask, and I've asked people about that too, is that you're not directly voting to create this graduated transfer tax, that it's an authorization for the city council to vote for that. So is there enough distance there, given everything that went on in the spring session, and you know, all of the tax issues and fee issues and those kinds of, is there enough distance for people to vote for that?
I think, you know, the way I look at, you know, because it's going to go to the council, it's going to work. You know, they have to get 26 votes for this, and so out of the number requested, I believe, you know, if this is, I'm going to support this for the city. I not only represent the south suburbs, I represent the half of it, the south side. But it has caused, you know, there's a number of
agita.
Yes. Yes.
there's
the money's going to go. Where, you know, and it's...
Yes.
But again, I would go back to, it's authorizing the city council to do that. So, you know, the aldermen are going to be directly involved. It's not like we're just going to pass this transfer tax and, you know,
magic,
just hand it to him.
Magic,
yes.
Occurs. That's Democratic State Representative Bob Rita, Democrat from Blue Island. Representative, as always, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be watching your activities in Springfield this week.
It'll be an interesting three
Don't
days.
Don't pick up the phone.